Last week on Thomas and the Bible, we hear of Paul's journey from Greece back to Jerusalem and all the people he pisses off along the way, mostly old-school Jews who don't like hearing that all this time they've been chopping off their foreskins for nothing. They also don't buy the whole concept of resurrection and aim to prove it by ripping Paul into pieces. Paul once again plays the I'm a Roman card, which saves him from a flogging, but doesn't get him out of jail free. In fact, Felix the governor keeps him safely locked up, hoping for a bribe. Felix retires after 2 years, leaving us wondering, will the new governor set Paul free? Will Paul die? Will Thomas die? Will any of the patrons die? Let's find out this week on Thomas and the Bible.
Boy, that was a hell of an intro. Thanks, Kevin. That was like a professional job, really, seriously. All right, so the page numbers work out well. We are going to finish Acts. Our final acts, the final act of Acts. Acts 25 through 28 today, and that should just about do it for Acts, unless there's any surprise Acts later on in the Bible. Let's just get into it. Now, when Festus, who should be named Festivus, so close, just the IV, I think, would be the letters you'd need, depending on how that's spelled. When Festivus was come into the province, although Festus, I think, is a person, obviously, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, and desired favor against him, that he would send him for Jerusalem, laying in wait to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about, and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. So a bunch of people charge him with stuff, and he's like, no, I didn't do any of that. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest, for if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause to the king, saying, this is my favorite part. This strikes me as the most realistic part of the Bible I've read thus far. Because it's two non-Jew, non-Christian, I'm pretty sure, just two guys, a part of the government of, you know, Rome or whatever. And they're like, just speaking honestly about Paul. I think it's so funny. There's a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that which he is accused, have the accusers face to face, and have a license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. So he's, like I said, this is him just telling, this is, what's his name, telling Agrippa about this. Against whom, Festus, I guess? Yeah, Festivus is telling Agrippa about Paul. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition. And of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. I love this. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these manners. But when Paul had appealed to reserve unto the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him unto Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come with and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemed to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. So, yeah, that was my favorite part, because he's like, look, I got this guy. I don't know. The Jews really want to kill him for some reason. But then I ask him why, and they're like, oh, all this stuff that doesn't make any sense. And then they just start blabbing about some guy named Jesus, and like, these guys think he's dead, and then but then Paul says he's alive, so I don't know. Like, well, what do I care? Alive, dead, I don't know how to judge that. So what should I do here? I just love it. It's a perfect like bystander kind of thing where you get to see like this guy doesn't care about Christianity. He doesn't care about a so-called amazing miracle worker in Jesus, who I'm amazed he wouldn't have heard of, who was, you know, curing people of diseases, walking on water, you know, loaves and fishes, all the good stuff. You know, he's doing all that stuff, and this guy never heard of him. He's like some Jesus, I don't know, some guy, some immigrant, or some random Jew. It was just so funny to me to read that, because like, I mean, if I were writing this book, I would probably have every character be like amazed by Paul. Like, and then the guy listened to Paul and was like, whoa, you're totally right. I'm amazed at the story of your conversion and all this. That's how I would do it. But instead the characters, I don't know, I guess whoever wrote this, maybe they gave an honest reading of, you know, an honest interpretation of what these people would have said. They're just like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. Can you charge him with a crime? I don't even know what to charge him with. I have no idea what's happening here. And so he like, and then the other thing I love about this goes through like a multi-step appellate process where we're going to start. We started one place. We're ending up at the Caesar eventually, it sounds like. And still the Jews are like really seeing this through. This isn't, what amazes me about this is it's not like the Jews just kind of wanted to kill Paul. It's not like, let's kill that guy. And then 10 minutes later, like, whatever. It didn't happen. The idea has fled. It was just a passing desire. No big deal. They're willing to go all the way up to the Supreme Court of whatever. They're all the way to Caesar. Like, they're filing forms and, like, doing all this stuff. They've hired a team of lawyers. These Jews are nonstop with wanting to kill Paul. They will never stop wanting to kill Paul. And that's, I love it. It's my favorite. All right, 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Oh, great. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Great. My manner of life from my youth, everyone just go, I picture, it's classic movie joke or whatever, when someone's like, all right, I'll be brief. Okay, started when I was a kid, and everyone's just like, oh man, this guy, I can't believe this. I picture hundreds of Jews listening and just sighing like, God dear Yahweh, just take me now. We get to hear, so we've already heard all this. We get to hear Saul's conversion story again, so that's fun. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand up and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. This is the part where he brags about his gangster life, like, look, I'm one of you. I used to be persecuting, you know, Christians left and right. I did my time. This is like, you know, like he's scared straight story. Which thing I also did, no, street cred. That's what I'm looking for. He's establishing his street cred. This is like, I used to be an evolutionist. It's like that one. I used to be an evolutionary guy. I totally was an evolutionist. I love that. Like that's a thing. Oh yeah, no, I'm an evolutionist. Like, no, you mean you just get it? Do you mean you just understand science, kind of? Anyway, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them unto strange cities. Whereupon, he persecuted these Christians to the ends of the earth. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I love that story of Jesus appearing, because isn't the whole controversy just that Jews didn't think Jesus was the Son of God and didn't think he was raised from the dead or whatever, and then Christians did? So, like, what I think is funny is that Jesus appears to Paul and he goes, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Blah, blah, blah. When really, like, all he would need to do is just appear to Paul and be like, yeah, it's me. You know, it's like it's not like Jesus appearing to Paul in the sky, like, miraculously is not enough. He also has to say, why are you persecuting me? His answer, what would his answer be? Oh, I thought you didn't exist. I thought you were dead. I didn't think you were actually, like, divine. So now that you've appeared to me instantly, I already know everything I was doing is wrong. And the belittling conversation doesn't really need to happen. You know what I mean? You wouldn't need to say that. You'd just be like, hey, Saul, it's me. Oh, shoot, I was wrong. Yep, you were wrong. Oh, okay, sorry. All right, I'll be a Christian now. Okay, thanks. That's all that would need to happen. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should shew light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as am I, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set to liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Oh, big mistake. See, that was a procedural error. He could have gotten off scot-free, but no, because he appealed to Caesar, apparently he has to go do that now. So Acts 27, the 27th Acts. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. He played in a band with him. 90s cover band. And entering into a ship of Erythrimitium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia, or Lycia, or whatever. And there the certain... And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and or Salmone maybe, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, right whereunto was the city of Lasia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul.
Yawn break.
Everyone take a yawn break. Everyone. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. So basically, the artist formerly known as Saul, predicted that the weather would be bad and everyone would have a hard time and lose the ship and all this stuff. But people don't listen to Paul, of course, because otherwise it wouldn't be the Bible. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when this is a bunch of nautical nonsense now. If nautical nonsense be something you wish, then go ahead and listen to the rest of this. Which, when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake the sail, and so were driven. Ahoy, matey. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all that them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when, oh, this is going to be good, like sitcom or something. It's this party of people on an island. It'll be like Gilligan's Island, but it'll be, yeah, different, obviously, but similar. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and it sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out the stern and wished for the day. And as shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat in the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to eat some meat, for this is for your health, and for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. And we were all in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not land, but discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoised up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And following into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All right, 28, Acts 28, the final Acts. 28, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, even though this is actually Malta, but I guess in the King James it's Melita. That sounds more like Spanish or something, Melita, but anyway. And the barbarous people shewed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. So why are you calling them barbarous then? I don't understand. Just anyone you don't know, barbarians, pretty much. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He's like, "Oh, this thing, whatever. It's just hanging on his hand. I'll just shake that off in the fire." Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I like that. So the two options here, they're like, "Oh, he's going to die for sure. He's going to swell up and die." And then when he doesn't, it's like, "Oh, he's a god." They go straight to that. And I guess these are maybe the Maltese, the people of Malta. I don't know. It just says the barbarians. And I guess it's talking about like the natives, unless it's the people on the ship. But then that doesn't make sense. So I think it's the natives. And like the other option could be that snake wasn't poisonous, which in fact I Googled and the scientists say, from what I can tell, that Malta didn't have any poisonous snakes at this time. So it's some sort of bullshit story, but whatever. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us, but with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things that were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. From thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called you, to see you and to speak with you, for in the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came shewed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Wow, so that's the end. That's the end of Acts. I thought it was going to be a little bit more dramatic and, frankly, interesting. Because, like, well, okay, I don't know if there's more to Paul. I don't know if Paul gets, like, more stuff later. I'm not sure. I haven't looked ahead. I don't know. No spoilers. But that was a pretty sorry ending, if that is what he did. I thought he was going to get, like, crucified or something. Or at least I thought there would be some big trial with Caesar. And, you know, everything would come to a head or whatever. But it pretty much just petered out. It was like, well, he talked to the Jews. They're like, I don't know about Christians. Are they bad? And he's like, well, let me tell you about Christianity. And then they're like, oh, that's great. And then he lived happily ever after, from what I can tell. So pretty boring ending. I'm not really sure if that's the actual end. But, yeah, not too exciting. Well, I'd like to thank you for listening so much. I'd also like to thank my patrons over at patreon.com/TandTheB. You guys are the best. Thanks for supporting the show. And I will see you guys next week.